June 27, 2011, Iran's Revolutionary Guard launched a 10-day military maneuver. Various missiles were tested. Among them are Shahab 3 R&B, Iran's first medium-range ballistic missiles. 9 Zelzal solid propellant missiles were also tested, and the Fateh 110. This is a single-stage solid propellant surface-to-surface missile with very high accuracy. And another major part of the maneuver was the unveiling of one of Iran's secret underground silos, from which Iran says it can hit any target with ever-ready long-distance missiles. Deterrence, national security and defense, words we are all very familiar with as they are used in the rhetoric of every nation on the planet. Military posturing has been the way of the world since the beginning of time. Nowadays, every time the national budget is thrashed out, a chunk is put aside for defense, or what some call a good offense. So showing off military might is supposed to prevent conflict by intimidating any possible aggressor. And as part of its defense strategy, every superpower tries to secure the latest military technology and, yes, prevent the rest from catching up in the arms race.
The bonds between the United States and Israel are unbreakable.
The US and its allies, namely Israel, have not been on good terms with Iran for the last 3 decades. So naturally, Iran's activities in the way of defense are not to their liking. Tehran is steaming ahead with its nuclear energy program, and all evidence shows the nature of this project is peaceful, as Iran stresses on a regular basis. And Iran is, like all other nations, regularly upgrading its defense capabilities as well. The need for this, Iran feels most acutely. It is under constant, unrelenting pressure from the powers that be. The US and Israel threaten Tehran with war ever so often, and both say a nuclear attack on Iran is a viable option. They insist Iran abandon uranium enrichment and have tried to browbeat Iran into doing so by imposing round after round of sanctions on the country. The Persian Gulf and Middle East region are now dotted with US military bases from Bahrain to Iraq and Afghanistan, which flank Iran. So the threats keep coming, and those making the threats keep inching closer and closer to Iran's borders. In response, Iran says it is ready to counter any attack in the blink of an eye, like any self-sufficient nation determined to safeguard its independence. The newer generation of Iran's underground silos are said to work via long-distance control. Iran says the message of its recent maneuvers is peace and friendship.
ما در واقع 15 سالی که این فناوری رو در اختیار داریم و حسن بزرگ سیلوا آماده بودن شبانه روزی موشک‌هاست. یعنی در هر لحظه ما اراده بکنیم می توانیم در قطعی که برد موشک اجازه بده در واقع اون اهداف رو مورد ثبات قرار بدیم.
پیام این رزمایش این هست که ما در جهت دفع تهدیدات حرکت می‌کنیم و می‌خواهیم با ظرفیت سازی منطقه‌ای منطقه را از عوامل معارض پاکسازی بکنیم و جنگ افزارهایی که از فرامرزها با قصد ایجاد خصومت بین ملت‌های منطقه و به قصد چپاول منابع مالی اینجا و هدر دادن فرصت‌ها به این منطقه آمده، ما با توانمندسازی داخلی می‌خوایم بگیم که نیازی به اینها نداریم.
Iran sees its military advancements as the continuation of its technological progress. The missiles are being built, but only to be used if the country is attacked, Iran says. Iran has stressed repeatedly that its military capabilities are purely defensive.
راهبرد ما دفاعی است، اما تاکتیک های ما تهاجمی است. موشک ها در حقیقت خصوصیت تهاجمی تاکتیکی راهبرد بازدارنده و دفاعی ماست. یعنی ما ابتدا کننده به هیچ عملیاتی نیستیم، اما واکنش های ما صرفا تهاجمی است.
So what were the reactions to Iran's latest maneuver? On the 29th of June 2011, 2 days after the maneuver, William Hague said, Iran has been carrying out covert tests of missiles capable of delivering a nuclear payload. Those tests were in clear contravention of United Nations Security Council resolutions forbidding Iran from developing a military nuclear program. So Britain quickly linked Iran's missile launches to its nuclear program and made the launches a reason to promote ever more vigilance and skepticism towards Iran's nuclear activities, despite the lack of evidence to support the West's accusations that Tehran is seeking nuclear weapons. But Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Ramin Mehmanparast says none of the missiles tested by Iran have the ability to carry a nuclear warhead. Iran is being accused of possessing dangerous technologies, but some say improving your defense capabilities on your own soil is none of anyone's business.
Western countries talk about deterrence. They say our nuclear deterrence. Well, if you have 30 missiles in a submarine going round the world, that's no longer a deterrence. That's an offensive weapon. But if your missiles are based on your soil and are purely designed in a defensive setup, then you can't be accused of conducting an offensive operation.
The US and its allies are constantly lobbying for Iran's nuclear program to be stopped in its tracks. This is despite the fact that Iran has declared over and over again that its nuclear program is meant for peaceful purposes, including energy and medicinal purposes. There is no evidence to suggest Iran, a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, is doing otherwise. Even the US's own intelligence community concluded in the year 2007 that Iran had no active nuclear weapons program. And according to the New Yorker, an updated 2011 national intelligence estimate reiterates that judgment. But nonetheless, Washington and others constantly barrage Iran with accusations and call on Tehran to ease their minds by giving up its nuclear program. But Iran's nuclear program has only been a source of tension for 10 years, but things between Iran and the West were not much better prior to the seal being broken at Iran's nuclear sites. The hostility toward Iran goes back to the 1979 Islamic Revolution and the war that followed. Iran was attacked by Iraq in the year 1980. 2 years into its new era, Iraq was supported by the US, which gave Baghdad weapons and intelligence.
ما در طول 32 سال گذشته با انواعی از دشمنان دارای سلاح‌های مخرب مواجه بودیم و تونستیم با روش‌های خاصی که اتخاذ کردیم که انواعی از روش‌ها بوده دشمن دارای سلاح مخرب را وادار به عقب نشینی در برابر خودمون بکنیم، ولی زا می‌بینیم که بعد از جنگ 8 ساله که ما با آمریکایی‌ها مواجهه تنگاتنگی داشتیم، هیچگاه با استفاده اونها از این سلاح مواجه نشدیم، چرا که اونها می‌دونن ما اگرچه سلاح مخرب نداریم اما روش‌هایی را در اختیار داریم که می‌تونه زمین منطقه را زیر پای اونها بلرزونه و اونها را دچار بحران‌های عظیمی بکنه.
Other Western countries followed suit, selling Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein anything from missiles to chemical weapons. Iran was left isolated, crippled by sanctions that prevented the sale of arms to Tehran.
Iran could have been further ahead with its space technology had it not been for 8 years of imposed war. That naturally put Iran behind in the race. However, the military development of missile technology and having to rely on the indigenous equipment, homemade local rocket engines, in some ways helped Iran. But all in all, I think the biggest stumbling block was the 8-year imposed war with Iraq.
Iran is no threat to anybody. I'm not saying that because I'm Iranian, and just from an Iranian perspective, look at what has happened during the last 2-3 decades, last 2-3 centuries even. Is there any single country that Iran has attacked? Is there any territory, any territorial expansionist policy? Does Iran initiate any war? I think all these questions are negative. On the contrary, Iran has been invaded many times. During the 20th century, Iran was occupied 3 times, World War I, World War II, and of course the Iraqi invasion of Iran in early 1980s.
After the revolution, foreign companies working on Iran's nuclear sites packed up and left, leaving Iran to sink or swim. Thus, Iran was forced to pursue full self-sufficiency in every field, being unable to rely on any outside help. Since 2003, Iran has been subject to 4 rounds of UN sanctions, backed up by those imposed by the US and the European Union. Any kind of exports or assistance to Iran's nuclear program was clamped. Iran's scientists were refused entry to other countries, and the publication of their articles in reputable journals was prevented. The sanctions have had various effects on Iran.
The sanctions have made life very, very difficult. But at the same time, we have to take into account Iran's contemporary history. We've emerged from almost like a 200-year sleep, like we dozed off for 200 years, while the world around us grew. So sanctions, in a way, sharpen the senses of Iranians and make them think and make them more innovative and force them to come out of this 40 wings they've been in. And try and be creative again.
They say that which does not kill us makes us stronger. Iran realized early on that the only way forward was to generate what it needed from within. Self-sufficiency in every field became the goal. And for a nation that saw the end of war only 23 years ago, the effects of that mentality are evident. Iran is now active in fields such as nanotechnology, stem cell research, and yes, the all-important field of nuclear science. And it's this that the West is upset about. Nuclear technology could make an already intrepid Iran an even bigger adversary. And because of this, Iran has seen the assassination of 2 of its top nuclear scientists.
The pool of knowledge that is available now in Iran, and also the depth of the archives that Iran has, also the developing scientists, the young scientists that are coming up, you cannot kill knowledge is one thing. So such acts are minor threats, and they are tragic, but you will have to take the pain and move on if you want to succeed. You can't run out of the field at the slightest, slightest impediment or the slightest problem.
But though tragic, the killing of Iran's scientists did not hinder Iran's nuclear progress. Those working on Iran's nuclear program have become a society in their own right.
The power base of Iran, the scientific community of Iran, which I think is a very important notion, and actually there has been scholarly works on this concept that now Iran has a domestic scientific community, and this is a community of Iranian young scientists, and I think it's not just the nuclear scientists. Now Iran has a good number of scientists in all areas of hard sciences, and I think it is part of Iranian power and part of the desire of Iranians all over history to be powerful, and I think this trend would continue.
The scars of the Iran-Iraq war have definitely faded, but though the bitter conflict is long since over, it is not forgotten. Those who are on the battlefield know what it's like to stand alone and defenseless against a determined enemy armed to the teeth. So defense has become a priority for Iran's Islamic Republic. Iran is situated in the highly volatile Middle East region, the home of oil-rich nations and therefore a region over which global powers struggle to assert their power. Since 2001, Iran has seen its security threatened intensely. U.S. wars have raged for years in Iraq and Afghanistan, the two countries flanking Iran. Thousands of U.S.-led international forces have been deployed and U.S. bases set up on either side of a country Washington is at odds with. So Iran's geopolitical situation is sensitive, to say the least. Iran must be on high alert at all times.
Geographically speaking, Iran is in a very difficult neighborhood. 15 neighbors, 5 regions, and all these have a lot of security dilemmas. There are not just local players, you have regional players, you have all global players here in this neighborhood. Furthermore, Iranian history also tells Iran that it cannot take its security in a very naive way. Iran's history reflects how difficult it is to manage the security of Iran, and I think this historical legacy also plays a very important role in understanding how Iranians feel about their security.
ما امروز در سطح خاورمیانه میتونیم با آمار و ارقام و به صورت کاملا شفاف اثبات کنیم که بزرگترین قدرت دفاعی مردمی منطقه خاورمیانه رو در اختیار داریم. همین مسئله در انواعی از حوزه ها مثل حوزه کشاورزی، حوزه صنعت وجود داره.
When Iran first struck out on its own after the revolution, it was in need of an array of machinery. At first, the problem was technicians. There was no one with the expertise necessary to assemble the parts Iran had. Then, as the sanctions got tougher, even parts were impossible to obtain. So Iran's young, inexperienced technicians had to use reverse engineering. They learned how to make machinery by dismantling old equipment, studying its parts, and copying its design. In the last two decades, Iran has moved away from producing replicas to inventing new models.
حوزه هوا فضا حوزه‌ای هستش که قبل از مباحث هسته‌ای در واقع به نوعی دچار تحریم شده بودیم ما. یعنی به لحاظ اهمیت که این حوزه فناوری داره خب طبیعتا ما شامل قوانین تحریم هم هست روی این حوزه فناوری کشور ولی در سطح آکادمیک و دانشگاهی ارتباط وجود داره به صورت تربیت دانشجو در واقع دانشجویانی که در سطح دکترا ارتباط دارن یا اساتیدی که میان اینجا دانشجو تربیت میکنن.
Iran's push for self-sufficiency has prompted development in many fields, including its aerospace technology. Since 2009, Iran has launched 2 homemade satellites into orbit. It's also become one of only 9 countries to build a satellite launcher. And now Iran has missiles with a range of up to 2,000 kilometers and underground silos that Tehran says cannot be detected via satellites. And the most important thing is that every bit of Iran's missiles are made inside Iran using domestic resources.
ما یک روزی بود محصول وارد میکردیم، یک روزی بود زیر سامانه می آوردیم، یک روزی بود قطعه می آوردیم. امروز ما رو در ارتباط با متریال و مواد اولیه هم تحریم کردن. چطور میتونیم ما موشک بیاریم؟ ما مواد اولیه اینا هم خودمون میسازیم.
The aerospace industry is expensive, time-consuming, and demands a lot of manpower and resources. So why does Iran insist on pursuing this costly enterprise?
و اینکه چرا توجه شده به این فناوری توی کشور، علتش اینه که تأثیری که این فناوری در افزایش کیفیت و رفاه زندگی مردم داره که میتونه ارتقا بده کیفیت زندگی مردم رو، دو تأثیری که سرریز این فناوری در چرخش و گردش سایر حوزه‌های صنعت توی کشور میتونه داشته باشه، این تأثیر زیادی داره. و مطلب سوم اینه که در افزایش و ارتقای امنیت و قدرت بازدارندگی کشور جز فناوری‌های مهم و مؤثر هستش حوزه هوافضا.
Iran says by carrying out maneuvers it is not seeking out enemies. Israel is Iran's only serious concern because Israel has repeatedly threatened Iran with military attacks. But even so, Iran insists its arsenal is for defending the nation only and will not be used unless it is attacked.
ما بارها اعلان کردیم که موشک‌های ما بیش از 2000 کیلومتر برد نداره. نیازی هم نداریم. الان پایگاه‌های کشورهای فرامنطقه‌ای در اطراف ما بین 200، 300، 400، 500 کیلومتر بیشتر برد نیازی ما نداریم. تنها هدف دوربرد ما که اون هم ناشی از نگرانی تهدیدهایی که به هر حال ما به عنوان نظامی باید جدی بگیریم بس رژیم صهیونیستیه. ما بردی بیش از رژیم صهیونیستی واقعا نیاز نداریم.
ما به صورت طبیعی تمام اهداف و گسترش‌های دشمنانمون رو در منطقه و فراتر از منطقه رصد و رهگیری می‌کنیم و قدرت اجرای عملیات‌های بازدارنده و واکنش‌های سریع و متقابل و انبوه رو روی همه هدف‌های دشمنانمون داریم.
In the Middle East region, only Israel possesses nuclear warheads, undeclared nuclear warheads. It is not a member of the NPT and is pursuing a policy of opacity, seemingly unfettered by the outrage of various nations. Each year, Tel Aviv receives billions of dollars in military aid from the US. Israel says a nuclear attack on Iran is an option that remains firmly on the table, and the US reaffirms its unbreakable ties with Israel on a regular basis. Washington says it's committed to the security of Israel and backtracks on any comments that Israel finds unappealing. So Israel, with a clandestine nuclear arms program and an ally committed to keeping it happy, is Iran's biggest threat. It's only logical that Iran would seek to protect itself. In the Iran-Iraq war, most Western powers supported Saddam Hussein, who used chemical weapons against Iran. The very man who was later branded a threat and removed from the international scene in the 2003 US-led invasion. The West is stamping its feet, finding it impossible to digest the idea of an independent Iran that will not take orders. Seeing this, Iran is at the ready, determined it will never again be defenseless in the face of a disgruntled enemy.